I just want to read two verses to you this morning, verses 9 and verse 10 of 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bear him with sorrow." And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, my borders, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me, and God granted him that which he requested." I want us to look this morning at this man's prayer. And what I'm concerned with this morning and interested in for myself and for you is that this man applied for, he requested and sought for the blessings of a covenant God and obtained them. Now that interests me this morning. I'm interested in that myself. But before we look at his prayer and what he obtained this morning, there's something here about this man, and I think the Holy Spirit has put it here to encourage you and I, and that is this, that we have no idea who this man was. He's never mentioned before this, and he's never mentioned after this. It's as though he's an unknown man. He just suddenly comes upon the scene, and the only thing that we know about him is that he sought for and obtained the blessings of God. Even the Jewish historians have no idea for sure and of a truth who this man was. They speculate, but nobody knows. Nobody knows for sure who his dad and mom was. Nobody knows if he was a great man in his community, if he was a rich man, a noble man. They don't know when he was born, what age he lived in. They just don't know anything about this man. All you and I know is that suddenly out of all of these genealogies, we come upon this man living here in some age. Don't know how old he was, who his dad and mom was, where he was educated or uneducated. All we know about this man is he lived and sought and obtained the blessings of a covenant God. Now, why is that important to you and I? It's important for this reason. Nobody knows who I am either. I'm a nobody. I have no history to look back upon. My dearest friends don't even know who my dad and mom is. They have no idea what their names were. I've never seen any of you on TV. They don't talk about you on the radio. You haven't had any books written. You haven't written any books. We're nobodies. We just find ourselves here at this point in time in the history of this world, just like this man does. And what's so encouraging about this is it doesn't matter who we were. It doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter what our standing is in this society. Nothing else matters. We just find ourselves here at this point in time. It didn't matter who this man was. Did it? If it did, the Holy Spirit didn't say. He was a nobody, Glenn, as far as we know, at least to us. And yet, this did not discourage him, neither did it hinder God from blessing this man. Now, that's encouraging to me. That's encouraging to me. You may be here this morning and like the poor prodigal son down in a hog pit. You've just suddenly come to yourself. And you're a nobody. You're a nobody. You know what you should do this morning? Just what this man did when we happened upon him. Call upon the God of Israel. And see if you and I this morning might obtain what he obtained, the blessings of a covenant God. You say, oh, Bruce, you don't know what I am. No. You don't know how I've lived. No. You don't know what kind of family I am. No, I don't know anything about you, and that don't matter to me. It didn't matter to this man. He's just a nobody that came suddenly on the scene, just like you and I. But he sought for and obtained the blessings of God. That's encouraging to me. I find something encouraging about that this morning. There's something else about this man that encourages me, is this that we're told about him here in verse 9. We're told that he had a sorrowful beginning. That's why his mother named him Jabez. Because she said, with grief I bore him. This poor man, all of his life long, every time he thought about his name, he thought about sorrow. Because that was his name. Sorrow and grief, Jabez. He was a grief to his mother, and may have been a grief to himself. And it all started at his birth. Now that's encouraging to me. I had a bunch of grief that came into this world with me, didn't you? I've been a grief to myself and others, and the source of that grief has been original sin that I brought into this world from my mother's womb. Well, here's a man in the same shape you and I was. He had a sorrowful beginning just like you and I have. Ever since I can remember, brothers and sisters, from the time I was just a little tot standing out in an old yard in front of a log house in Banner Springs, Tennessee, and I looked up in the sky, and for the first time in my life, I was a sinner against God. From then to this very day, I've had sorrow and grief and trouble in my life. That describes us, doesn't it? A man that's born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Just like Jabez. But you know something? This man that was born into trouble and grief and sorrow sought for and obtained the blessings of a covenant God. Ain't that encouraging to you?
Yes.
That's encouraging to me. Yeah, I'm a sinner. Oh, you don't know the half of it. You ought to try to get into my heart sometime. You talk about sorrow and trouble daily. But oh, that don't discourage me. And that don't hinder God from blessing a man. He sought for and he obtained the blessings of a covenant God. And I would imagine, just like us, this fellow's beginnings, just like everything you and I try to do. You ever try to do anything? Do it for the Lord, and just as soon as you put your hand to it, it just falls apart. Doing it for His glory. Doing it for the good of His people. But I tell you, as soon as you start doing it, you talk about labor and grief and toil. Anything that's ever had a good blessing in it started out bad for me. And it's you. I remember when we started radio broadcast here. I never had so much trouble making a tape in all my life. It took me about 3 hours to make a 30-minute tape. Awfulest mess I ever seen in my life. Finally, just threw up my hand and said, I can't do this. We have some sorry beginnings in everything we attempt to do. Did you know that? But that shouldn't discourage us, brothers and sisters. This man had some sorry beginnings too. Don't give up, see. Seek the blessings of the Lord. Oh, I tried it and it didn't work out. That's usually the way it goes. That's usually the way it goes. You begin to do something and it just breaks down, falls to pieces. Well, request for and beg and call upon the blessings of God. You may well obtain them. This man did. He had a sorry beginning. Here's something else about this man. Was said about him here, and look at this. It was said about him here in verse 9 that he was more honorable than his brethren. Now, you read the commentaries, and most of them will tell you that he was probably honorable because he was a rich man, or mighty man of strength. he had accomplished some great task in his nation. But you know why I think he is an honorable man? You know why I think the Scripture calls him an honorable man? He's a man of God. He's a man of God. Look over here with me right quick. And you'll have to hurry. Look here right quick with me in 1 Samuel chapter 9. Here's why I say this. He may very well. We don't know. The Holy Spirit's not been pleased to tell us about Jabez. And he may very well have been a mighty man of valor. May have been the leader of a group of militiamen or soldiers that defended Israel or delivered their community. We don't know who he was. But I think what made him an honorable man, he is a man of God. He is a true man of God. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 9. This is where Saul went looking for his dad's donkeys and couldn't find them. And here is what he said to his friend in verse 6. 1 Samuel 9 and 6. And he said unto his friend, Saul said to his friend, behold now, there is in this city a man of God. He knows God. He believes God. He loves God. He fears God. He follows God as a dear child. He is an honorable man. What makes an honorable man? What constitutes, what qualifies a man being called an honorable man? He's a man of God. Samuel was a man of God. He believed God. He's an honorable man. He's an honorable man. Look back over here in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. How do we know that Jabez was a man of God? Well, look here in chapter 4. Look here in verse 10. You're telling us. About your telling us. And Jabez called on the God of Israel. How do we know he's a man of God? Because he called on the God of Israel. He called on this covenant God, the God and Father of Jesus Christ the Lord. He called on. Now, I'm sure, it's not said here about him, but I'm sure that this man attended public worship service. If he had an opportunity, I'm sure he attended the public worship. A man of God does. I'm sure that when he had opportunity, he gave. He gave to the needy. He helped the needy with whatever means he had. I'm sure that he did that. This is not said of him, but I'm sure that he did that. I'm sure that he read the Word of God. He meditated in it day and night. I'm sure he did that. He's a man of God. It's not said that about him, but I'm sure he did. But what was said of him, and notice this, brothers and sisters, this is so important. This is not what he said about himself. He didn't go around as the Pharisees and scribes did, saying, I'm a praying man. This is what the Holy Spirit said about this man. The Holy Ghost bore witness and said, this man, Jabez, called on the God of Israel. Now, when the Holy Spirit bears that out, it's true. He called on, he feared, he believed, he loved this covenant God and Father of Jesus Christ the Lord. He is a caller on the Lord. That's what constitutes an honorable man. A caller. I love the Lord, David said. Why do you love him, David? I called upon him, and he heard my prayer. He delivered my eyes from tears, my feet from falling, my soul from death. The pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble. And just like Jabez, I found sorrow. And then I called upon the name of the Lord. And he heard my prayer and my supplication. Therefore, I'll call on him. How long? As long as I live. As long as I live. You know a man of God is not a man of God, you know what a man of God, he's not a man that would call on the Lord if he could get time out of his busy schedule. That's not a man of God. He's a man of God who calls. He calls. It's a way of life to a praying man, ain't it? He's not a man that's going to seek to flatter God with a few words or impress somebody else with a pretty prayer or soothe his conscience. He's a man who calls. It's a way of life unto him. David said, at evening and in the morning and at noon will I call upon the Lord. It's a way of life unto a man who calls on the Lord. This was an honorable man. He is said to be a man of God, and he proved he was because he was a caller upon the Lord. There's three things about those who call on the God of Israel. Three things about a man who calls on the God of Israel. He's a saved man. A man who calls on the God of Israel is a saved man. Do you know that? You know what Scripture says about a man who calls on the Lord? He shall be saved. That sounds positive, doesn't it? You know what that word shall means, don't you? It's unavoidable, inescapable. They who call upon the name of the Lord, he has been saved and he has called. He is being saved and he is still calling. And he shall be saved and he'll never quit calling. You think Jabez is in heaven this morning? You know how we know he is? Because he called on the God of Israel. And they who call are saved. A man told me one time, said he'd been calling on the Lord for 40 years and the Lord hadn't saved him yet. You ain't calling on the Lord. You ain't calling on the Lord. Such things never written about in the Scriptures are. You just ain't calling. I don't know who you're calling on to, but it ain't the God of Jacob and Abraham and Isaac. It ain't the God of Israel. When you seek me with all your heart, you'll find me. That's what he said. You'll find me. And number two, every man or woman or boy or girl who calls upon the God of Israel, God is near that person. God is near. God was near this man, Jabez. Listen to what David said. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him, to all that call upon Him in truth. Well, that's comforting. That's what David said. When I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for He's with me. He's with me. The Lord said, when you go through those floods of trials and tribulation, through the fires of affliction, I'll be with you. I'm near you. When you're walking up that hill, difficulty, and boy, your knees are skint and your hands are blistered upon the rocks, I'll be with you. When you're going through the valley of humiliation, and it's deep and it's long and it's dark, I'll be with you. I'm with everybody who calls upon my name. That's assurance now. And I tell you, just as I've said, thirdly, every praying man, every man who calls truly upon the God of Israel, he's an honorable man. He's a good man. He won't hurt you. A praying man will never hurt you. I assure you of that. You say, Bruce, them Pharisees, they're meaner than a snake. They prayed. No, they didn't pray. Lord never bore witness. The Holy Spirit never bore witness. They prayed to be seen of men for self-gratification. But I'm telling you, a man who's calling upon the God of Israel, he won't hurt you. He is more honorable than his brethren he calls. Somebody might say, you better watch Jabez's brothers. You better not turn your back on Jabez's brother. He's got some rascals for brothers. You better not have any dealings with them. They'll cheat you. They're crooks. But what about old Jabez? Oh, he's an honorable man. You can trust him. He won't hurt you. Why? He calls on the God of Israel. Ananias down there in Damascus, when Saul of Tarsus had been smitten on the Damascus road, and the Lord sent him over to the street called Straight, the Lord went and told Ananias. He said, Ananias, Saul of Tarsus is over there in Simon's house, and I want you to go over there and speak to him. He saw you coming in a vision. I want you to go talk. Ananias said, Lord, I'm afraid of that man. I'm scared to death of that man. Look what evil he's done already. And you know what the Lord told him? Behold, he prayeth. You don't have to be afraid of a praying man. You just don't. Now he won't hurt you. Lord, he used to pray all the time. I saw him out on the street corners myself. I went up the temple one day. He prayed for 30 minutes. He's praying to himself then. He's praying for you to hear him then. Now he's calling on me, and you can trust him. I ain't afraid of you. I ain't afraid of you, Terrence. If you're a caller on the God of Israel, you ain't going to hurt me or nobody else. An honorable man. Don't trust his brother, but you can trust Jabez. He's an honorable man. Now let's look just a minute at his prayer. Look here. The first thing is said about him, Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou would bless me indeed. Oh, that thou, the covenant God, who hath promised blessings to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all their descendants, the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, wouldest thou bless me indeed." This man was aware of something most people have never considered. The God of Israel can bless a man. The God of Israel can bless a man. That not only he can bless a man, he's willing to bless a man, that his blessings are available to a man. And when he blesses a man, he's blessed indeed. I tell you, most people are going through this world, and you know this as well as I do. And they're muckraking around in the treasures of this world, as we looked at last Sunday. They're on the trail of the riches and temporal advantages of this world. And when they find them, they're nothing but a sorrow and a burden to them. And you know that as well as I do. But I tell you, when God blesses a man, it makes that man rich. And it has no sorrow with it. I happened upon a verse a few days ago, and I just love it. Let me show it to you. Look over here in Proverbs chapter 22. Hold that. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22. Look here at this verse of Scripture. Proverbs chapter 10, look here in verse 22. I want you to see this. I find a verse of Scripture sometime, and I like a, when I go down south to see my brother-in-law, he's a knife collector. And if you start talking to him about a knife you obtained, first thing he says to you, "You got it, will you? I want to see it. I want to see it." When I find a Scripture, or you find a Scripture, we start talking about it, I want to look at it, don't you? Let me see it. "Well, you'll see what a Scripture I found. Let me see it." Look what I found here in verse 22 concerning the blessings of the Lord. Proverbs 10, verse 22. "The blessing of the Lord." Oh, Lord, bless me. "The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it." You know how you can tell if the Lord has blessed you with material things? You know how to tell? I'll tell you three ways you can tell. If the Lord has blessed you with material things. Now I know what happens. I know what happens if you've just sought after them. If it's just your will to be rich. If you get on the trail of riches and you're going to covet, you better be in good shape because they're going to wear you out. They're going to wear you out seeking after them. And you won't be happy when you find them. Let me tell you three ways you can tell, even in these temporal blessings, these carnal blessings. The Father knows what we have need of. All these necessary things in this life, He adds them when we seek first the kingdom of God. And I tell you the way you can tell God's blessed you in these temporal things. It's not a grief for you to get them. It's not a grief for you to get them. You don't go coveting after them. It's not a grief for you to share them when you do have them. And it don't make you sad and brokenhearted when you have to turn them loose. There's no sorrow, even with these temporal things, when the Lord blesses you with it. I'm driving a brand new, most of you know this, I'm driving a brand new Dodge Caravan. Just a few hundred miles on it. Brand spanking new one. I love that thing to death. I drove it down to Lexington the other night to preach for Todd and Ivor, and I coming back, and I thought, boy, this beats that little old pickup truck of mine to death. I just waller and roll all over that seat in that little truck. But this thing, oh, and the smell of new in it. And you know something? When I got that, I didn't lay up of the night thinking about it. I didn't cheat anybody to get it. I didn't have to lie to get it. I didn't have to defraud anybody to get it. It was easy got without any grief to it at all. It's no trouble to keep it. You can borrow it. Clarence, you're going on vacation a few days. You can take that if you want to. Drive a new one. If you don't believe me, try me. And if I'm out here tomorrow and that thing breaks down and they take it to the junkyard and crush it, that's fine. That's fine. Ain't it a blessing to have that attitude about the things of this life? The Lord give it to me, and I'll share it with you if you need it. And it ain't going to be long. I'm going to have to turn loose of it anyway. He addeth no sorrow with it. Seek ye first and foremost the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you, and you'll not suffer so much sorrow when they are. And that's a good attitude to have, brothers and sisters. It's the blessings of the Lord. But if you start coveting these things and following after them and laying awake at night thinking how you're going to get them, if you get them, they ain't going to be nothing but a sorrow of heart to you. I can tell you that from experience. The blessings of the Lord, but here's the greater blessings. Listen to this. We looked at some of them last Sunday night. These spiritual blessings. God's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. When you call on the Lord and said to Him, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And He did. Have you ever been sorry about that? I never have. When the Father in heaven revealed His Son to your understanding, and you came suddenly to know Him, have you ever been sorry about that? That's a blessing. I've never been sorry about that. That covenant blessing that He said, I'll give you a new heart and a new spirit. And He said, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. And you went and sought Him. Lord, give me a new heart and a new spirit. And He did. Have you ever been sorry about that? The blessings of the Lord makes rich. And you'll never have any sorrow with that. Take with you words and turn unto the Lord and say unto Him. Now listen to this. Listen to this. Go to the Lord right now in your heart. Just go right to Him in your heart. And take with you words. And here's what you're told to say unto Him. Oh Lord, take away my iniquity. That's a blessing, ain't it? I never tire of asking you this question. What would it mean to anybody in here this morning who knows anything about the holiness of God, the strictness of His justice, that you ever think about death and dying and the judgment to come and eternity, and you know something about your sins? What would it mean to you to have all your sins forgiven this morning? To have them all taken away in the fountain of the blood of Jesus Christ the Lord. I mean, you come in here this morning and you sit down and you're weighted down with guilt. And you leave that door. And I'm telling you, your conscience is as light as a feather. You come in here in darkness, in the kingdom of darkness. And you left here in the kingdom of Christ. Oh, what would that mean? Wouldn't that be a blessing? Well, here's what He says. Take with you words and seek the Lord and say, Lord, take away my iniquity and be gracious to me. And Jabez obtained the blessing. He was granted a blessing. Oh God, bless me, forgive my sins. And I tell you, there'll not be any sorrow. You'll never live one day to regret the Lord taking your sins away. If you had known the gift of God, the Savior said, and who it was that saith unto thee, give me to drink, you would have asked of Him, and He would have given you everlasting life, living water. You mean we ask? We just ask. We just ask. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that gives to all men abundantly, liberally, freely, graciously, and it shall be given to him. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I'll deliver you, and you'll glorify me. Call upon me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you know not. What do you want from God this morning? What are you doing here? What in the world are you doing here anyway? What do you want from God? Huh? You want anything from God? Ask Him. You ever talk with Him? Ah, Bruce, you don't. There's more to it than that. Well, there wasn't any more to it than that to Jabez. He was a nobody. Just found himself in time and said, I'm going to call on the God of Israel to bless me. And he called. And he blessed this man. What do you want from God this morning? You want life? You want mercy? You want hope? You want His Son? You want faith? What do you want? He's rich. He's rich beyond measure. And He's rich unto all that call upon Him. And He freely gives. He can bless you beyond measure, dear folks, this morning. That rich man, old Herod. Herod told Herodias, his daughter, he said, you ask of me and I'll give you half of my kingdom. You think God's going to let King Herod outdo him? He's rich. And since he's rich and since he freely gives, then go to him and ask him. Charles Spurgeon told about a rich nobleman. Nobleman, he was a king or something. Very rich man, a filthy rich man. And this poor man had did him a favor. And he gave this man a blank check. He gave this poor man a blank check. He said, I want you to know something. I'm rich. I am filthy rich. And I'm giving you a blank check. And you write it for whatever you want to write it for. I appreciate what you did for me. And here, you can share in my riches. That poor man took the check and filled it out and took it down to the bank. And the banker held it and came running to the rich nobleman. He said, man, this guy has written a check that you will not believe. This is a fabulous sum. And the rich man took it and looked at it. He said, cash it. I told him I was rich. And now he's there to prove it. You think God is rich? Then prove it. Prove it. You can write a check he can cash. Nobody's ever wrote a check he can't cash.
That's right.
Look at this right quickly. This man, Jabez, he's a man of faith. He believed that God could bless him and would bless him. And therefore he exercised faith in, and he blessed him. Right quickly. I don't want to keep you too long and worry you out. But look at this. First thing, his request. The first request he had was this. In verse 10. First Chronicles chapter 4 and verse 10. Here's the first thing he had. Oh, that thou would bless me indeed and enlarge my borders. Enlarge my coast. Now back in these days, land was something every Jew wanted. He wanted to acquire some land. God gave them this land, and boy, they staked it out. And they wanted plenty of it. Some of them wanted mountains, and some wanted valleys, and some wanted big pastures. And there may be a sense in which this man, being a Jew back in these days, had in mind some large patch of land or some mountain or valley he wanted to acquire. Oh God, give me this beautiful valley. But you know, this has a spiritual application to it. And here's what it is. We want our heart enlarged. We want the borders of our heart enlarged. Here's what David said. Lord, enlarge my heart. And then will I run the ways of thy commandments. Why do we need a large heart? Because we got a big God. And a big God won't hardly fit in a little heart. I told you a few days ago that atheist asked that poor Christian, "Do you have a big God or a little God?" And he said, "My God's so big He fills the universe. And He condescends to be so small to dwell in my heart." We got a big God, and we need a big heart. Give me a heart, and then fill it with yourself. That's what the application of this is. Lord, enlarge my heart, and then fill it with the fullness of God. Oh, we've got a Savior. We've got a mighty Savior. A great Savior. All His saving attributes. Mercy that's higher than the heavens. A love that can't be known for its height, or its depths, or its breadth, or its length. Kindness, goodness, sympathy, long-suffering. Oh, our Savior and all these attributes. I want to know more of Him, don't you? I need a heart. I need a big heart. I need my heart enlarged. And then I need Him to fill it with Himself. Lord, give me a heart. Give me a heart. Enlarge my heart. That's what Paul prayed. He said, "I pray for you. I pray that your heart be so enlarged you know the depth and the height and the breadth and length of the love of Christ, that you'd be filled with the fullness of God. Lord, enlarge my heart." The rich man said, "My fields have brought forth so much fruit, I'm going to have to build greater barns." If he felt that way about those natural fruit, don't you think we should feel that way about the treasures of Christ? I need a bigger heart. Something else about this enlargement too. Not just a heart, to be filled with the fullness of our Savior and all His saving attributes. The knowledge of Him and His saving mercies. But he says this in Isaiah 54, 1 and 2. We don't have time to turn over there. Let me quote it to you. Children of Israel at this time, bless their hearts, and just a few of them. Just a few. The church was so small in the days of Isaiah, in great affliction. And the Lord spoke to Isaiah and He said, "Sing, O barren, thou that did not bear, break forth unto singing and cry aloud, thou that did not travail with child." And listen to this. He says, "Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch forth the curtains of your habitation." You better build on, he said. Better get ready to build on. "Spare not and lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left hand, and thy seed, thy desolate seed, shall inherit the Gentile." Well, wouldn't it be a blessing this morning to pray like Jabez did and say, "Lord, enlarge us. Here's all these empty pews. All these desolate seats. Fill them." I hope we have to enlarge our parking lot. It ain't that big. It wouldn't take much money, would it? I wish we'd have to go somewhere to a bigger building. You say, "Bruce, why in the world would you want that?" Not just to have numbers. Numbers just increase my sorrow, to be honest with you. But you know what I'd like to see? I'd like to see God reward His Son in our day for what He's done for the glory of God. I'd love to just imagine in my heart that right now in heaven, the Father is looking over at His Son seated on His right hand and said, "My Son, it's 2006 down in Newcastle, Indiana, and I'm going to increase your glory greatly among those people. I've got a whole bunch of elect sinners there, and I'm going to add them to the Sovereign Grace Church, 1806 Hunter Avenue." Wouldn't that be amazing? You think it'd be wrong to pray to that end? Lord, enlarge our borders. Oh, wouldn't it be wonderful if He said, you better get some longer strings on your tents, old boy. You better get some heavier stakes than what you got now. I'm going to enlarge." That'd be wonderful, wouldn't it? That'd be wonderful. Oh, God, save your people in this place. Secondly, he prayed for this. "That thy hand," he said, "might be with me." This is his second request. Oh, what a blessing. every step of the way. Wouldn't it be wonderful, the hand of God leading us every step of the way? Some through the fire, some through the flood, some through the water, all through the blood. God leads His dear children along. He rescued you, Clarence, with the right hand of His strength. If He leads you, I'll show you this. He leads you in the path of righteousness. That's where you want to go, then. Jabez said, Lord, I want to go in the path of righteousness. Lead me. I want to be led beside still waters. I want to be led down in the green pastures. Lead me. Lead me. If I fall, I want you to hold me up. And when life is over, I want you to lead me right into heaven. Lead me with your hand. Let your hand be with me. And I tell you, if the hand of God is with a man, you can do some amazing things. I think it's over in Acts chapter 11 where all those young Christians that were scattered abroad because of the persecution of Saul of Tarsus, they went everywhere preaching the Lord Jesus. They're just young converts, but they went preaching. And the Scripture says the hand of the Lord was with them. And many believed their word. Ain't that amazing? Ain't that amazing? If the hand of the Lord is with you, what might you accomplish for His glory and the good of your fellow man? Oh, your dad or your mom. Oh, what good you could accomplish in your family if the hand of God is with you. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Let Thy hand go with me. And look here what He said. The third and last request is this. Keep me from evil. Oh, that Thou, covenant God, would keep me from evil. What would make a man pray this if he was an honorable man? Can you imagine the shame David brought on the Lord when he fell into evil? I tell you, sometimes the devil laughs. He don't have much to laugh about. He's in chains of darkness, dreading the day of judgment. But sometimes he laughs. And you know when he laughs the hardest? When men like David fall into sin. You've given great occasion, David, to the enemy to reproach the Lord, to shame the Lord. Lord, keep me from evil. Can you imagine what effects it's going to have on others if you fall into sin? I talk to people all over this country, and they're always asking about somebody in this congregation. Down at Todd Road the other night, how's Clarence and Gail Poore doing? How's old Big Man doing? Everywhere I go, people I talk to, they're always asking about somebody in this congregation. Could you imagine how sad it would be to them if I said, oh, it's not too good. They fell into sin. We haven't seen them for months. Just every once in a while, somebody come up to me and say, you know, I remember somebody up there in your congregation years ago fell into sin. And I still think about that, and it hurts me so bad. The effects it has upon other people. If we're not kept from evil. If I err and fall into sin, somebody's going to follow me. Peter fell into sin. And Barnabas followed him. But Barnabas followed him. Barnabas followed him. Didn't he? You may think this morning you don't have influence over anybody, but if you're a preacher or you're a teacher, you're a child of God, and you err in doctrine or in practice, I just about assure you, somebody's going to follow you. Somebody's. Turn your teacher to those kids. Not only in what you tell them, but in what you do. How you live your life. And they're going to mock you. We're creatures that live by example. What we see and hear from other people. Wouldn't it be awful if you fell into sin? Can you imagine the shame and the hurt? I know a preacher. He and his wife separated and divorced. Just a few months later, their daughter separated and divorced. Why did she do that? Because dad and mom fell into error. They fell into evil. Oh Lord, keep me from evil. Because of the shame that it's going to bring on your name, because of the way it's going to affect other people, and the way it's going to grieve me when I do it. To sin against a God who is good, infinitely good and kind, a God who is love. Sin against my Savior who loved me and died for me. Cause some of God's little children to trip up and stumble. Discourage the others. Oh, could I do this? When I think of doing this, Glenn, it saddens and grieves my soul. Brothers and sisters, there's a need for us to pray. Oh God, keep me from evil. If you don't, I'll fall. I saw Brother Glenn Cromer the other day, not too long ago, Glenn. And he said, you know when the angels fell? I said, no, what do you mean? He said, when God didn't uphold them any longer. He said, you know when Adam fell? When God didn't uphold him any longer. You know when we'll fall? When God moves His hand, we'll fall. Now, if you're so presumptuous to think you can stand when He moves His hand, then you go ahead and try it. You go ahead and try it. God, keep me from evil. And the Scripture says, your God granted him that which he requested. Here's a man we never heard of before. As far as we're concerned, he was just a nobody. But it didn't matter. He's a man who knew the God of Israel could bless a man and would bless a man. And he sought those blessings and he obtained them. And may God give us grace to do the same.